Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
In the crisp mornings, like this morning, my son and I just sat out on my front porch, and it's just beautiful out there, man. It's just like looking at the tree, just looking at trees, and I'm just like, man, this is awesome. I think God can be found there in a child's laughter. We've had little kids running around my house the last couple days, and it's awesome. I think God can be found there. I think God can be found in the silence. Where is God? Are we finding him? Are we even looking for him?
You expect to find Jesus at church, in worship songs, or in your time reading the Bible, right? But God is bigger than just those places. You can see God all around you. But the key is that you have to be looking. He's in the marvelous beauty of nature, the comfort of a good friend, or even that movie that resonated with you. Today, Pastor Michael encourages you to open your eyes and look for glimpses of God in your everyday moments. Let those constant reminders of his presence deepen your walk with him. Now, here's Pastor Michael in the book of Genesis chapter 5, as he continues his message, Trouble in Paradise.
Why would the Lord go into all this detail of the lineage? And if he is going to go into it, why wouldn't he go into all the other sons and daughters that were born to these gentlemen? Why is it just these that are illuminated and poured out? Someone much wiser than me looked at these names, and I will tell you who he is. He's an author by the name of Dr. Chuck Missler. This is a really cool book called Learn the Bible in 24 Hours. This dude's way smart and does some interesting things. But he took these names that I just told you what they mean, and he put them together. So here, all the names have these meanings that I told you about, and here's what they mean. But look at, when you just look at the meanings. Man, appointed subject to death, sorrowful. From the presence of God, one comes down dedicated. Dying, he shall send. To the poor and lowly, rest in comfort. To me, is this coincidence? They have all these tens and hundreds of thousands of children, but we concentrate on these kids, and their names in Hebrew have these meanings that absolutely perfectly put out the gospel message. Man, appointed subject to death. Because of sin entering into our lives, man, the weight, Bible says, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is what? It's death. And so we're sorrowful, man. This is a bummer for us, man, that we get to die. Woo! But from the presence of God, one comes down who's dedicated. I love that. And dying, his death, of course, Jesus' death on the cross, sends to the lowly, to the poor, man, rest, real rest, the kind of rest that only God can bring. So I read that in this book, and I was like, are you stinking kidding me? Like, that might be the coolest thing I've ever seen. The most boring, stinking chapter in the Bible has Jesus in it. Like, how incredibly interesting and cool is that? I call this, you know, finding God and finding him in the places that we often ignore. I would skip Genesis chapter 5 if I'm reading. I don't care. And oftentimes, we'll do that. You know, we'll skip certain parts of the Bible. But what if we see Jesus there? If we don't read, if we don't dig into, if we don't digest God's word, and I believe regularly, okay, I won't even say daily, but I think we should do it daily, but if we're not in God's word and really diving into it, then I really believe we're missing out. You know, and it's not just this little church, it's every church in the world, not even just in America. But, you know, we have the largest crowds on Sunday morning. If you call a prayer meeting on Monday night or Bible study, just deep Bible study on Wednesday night, you're always going to get less people here. But the truth is, there's not a hunger for God's word like I think there used to be. When you read about the tent revivals in the late 1800s and early 1900s and these people that would travel and sit in the freezing cold in some tent with hay on the ground, they're sitting on hay barrels, and they would just listen to the word of God being preached, and they would, you know, we went to Mexico one time, Reynosa, Mexico, and from there we went up a mountain, and it took us like 2 hours to get up this stinking dirt mountain, and we got up there and it was a little church with no roof, and so we were all ready to, and I was ready to preach and everything, and we were going to different little villages and preaching, and we didn't know how many people would be there. And the pastor was there, and he met us, and we had been told that it was going to start at a certain time, and nobody was there. And so I thought, oh, okay, you know, we just made a 2-hour trip up a dirt road that scared the garbage out of me, and nobody's here, but praise the Lord, you know, we're doing it for the Lord. And the pastor was like, no, wait, you know, people will come. They're just finishing working in the fields and they come on Mexico time, you know, whenever they feel like they want to come. So we're like, okay. So we just sat around and talked for like an hour and a half. Pretty soon he was right. People started coming and it filled up. People were outside the window because there's no glass in the windows, and they're just sitting there listening, and there's dogs running around, and it was really fun, you know? We worshiped, and then I preached, and I had an interpreter. So we left, and it's pitch dark, okay? It's pitch dark. And then we got to take our van. We had about 15 of us to go down this mountain that was not a paved road. I mean, huge. I mean, it's scary. I mean, it makes Imogene Pass look like nothing. I mean, like this is like a breeze, right? So we're going down, and as we go, we get about 10 minutes down the road, and here's a lady. I saw a lady who was at church, and she's walking down. And I'm telling you, it is black. I mean, like pitch dark. You can barely see. The light of the moon was only a sliver, so you could see a little bit, but I mean, it was dark. Like almost you couldn't see your hand. And she has 5 little kids behind her, and they're all holding hands, and they're walking down this road. And so we like stop. We're like, hello, you know, and she speaks Spanish, and I don't have the interpreter with us now. And there was one girl in our group that could kind of speak. So we basically, she recognized I spoke, and can we give you a ride? So she jumps in with her kids. She drives. I'm telling, like, we went down, like, at least halfway down the mountain and dropped her off at her home. And I thought to myself, we got done around 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. If she had walked that with her 5 kids, she would not have been home until, like, 2 o'clock in the morning. And it's hot. And it's pitch dark. And I'm like, in America, we can drive an air-conditioned car 15 minutes to church, but we can't get there. This lady is dragging her stinking kids all over God's creation. I'm blown away. I mean, you see what I'm saying? And when I say there's a lack of a hunger for God's word and the teaching of God's word and things like that, I ain't joking. Like, I really feel this deep in my heart that Christians, we love Jesus, and I'm not saying we don't, but we just don't have a hunger to grow. And here's what my whole message in finding Jesus in this weird, obscure passage and all of that is that if we're not in the word, I really think that we're missing out. And it's not that we're just missing out on Bible study or Bible. I think, now follow me here, I think we're missing out on Jesus. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. And then down in verse 14, I think, it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Everybody and their sister who knows anything about theology or anything attributes John, the beginning of John chapter 1, to mean Jesus, that Jesus is the Word. And nobody disagrees with that. In the beginning is the Word. What does this mean, that Jesus is the Word? Who cares? It means when God wanted to speak, he literally became his own words. Like the things that he wanted to say were lived out in the person of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? If you want to know what God's saying, like, God, I don't understand all this stuff in here, you know? Well, let's look at Jesus, because he's the Word become flesh who dwelt among us. If I don't understand what God's saying, I can look at Jesus and I can understand what God's saying. You with me? So it's the Word. And when we ignore the Word, in a sense, I wonder if we're ignoring Jesus. People say, well, I love Jesus. I'm just not crazy about Bible study. How can you love Jesus and not be crazy about Bible study? It's all about him. I think it's important. I believe the people who are most godly and most happy, the people who are just a complete joy to be around, those are the people like Enoch in verse 24. They're the people who are walking with God. And they're being caught up, raptured in a sense, not like where they're just gone like he was, but literally being enraptured in the presence of God. When they're just like, these are the people that walk with God, like they're close to God. There's a difference about them. And it's because I think of that relationship. And I wonder if some of the reasons that people that call themselves Christians or people that they call themselves God followers, some of the reason that some of them are so unhappy and unfulfilled in their lives is because they're not doing that. They're not doing the very thing that Enoch did, which is walking daily with the Lord. Does that make sense? They believe all the right things, but we know that even the demons believe. It's a walking with God that fills the void and the hollowness in our life. It's relationship. And we say that a million times. It's sort of become a cliche now. It's not about religion. It's about relationship, you know, and everybody can say that. But honestly, the people who are unhappiest are the people who are not in intimacy, an intimate relationship with the Lord. I think they're missing Jesus completely because he is found in the places that they're often overlooking. They're often ignoring, like chapter 5 here, but in other ways too. You know, they're looking for love in all the wrong places. That would be a great song, wouldn't it? They're looking for God. And, you know, they think, and this is the problem, right? People think, oh, if I find God, I'm going to find him at the church. And the bigger the church, the more God must be there, you know? And so, you know, back in literally the 1600s, we built these massive churches with beautiful stained glass windows and they're big cathedrals. You walk in, hello, 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 hello. And it's just beautiful. You walk in even today and you're like, this is gorgeous. This is a work of art, you know? And the feeling was the bigger we make it, the more you'll get that sense that it's of God. It's not of this world. And so we built these huge cathedrals and things like that. But we're finding that God's not necessarily in a building. Sometimes just going into a quiet church, and I've done that. We've been in Mexico and gone to these huge churches, and I'll sit there for an hour and cry, and I do feel the presence of the Lord, I'll be honest with you. But I don't think it has a lot to do with the building. I think it has more to do with just being quiet. I can go sit here by the river and feel the same thing. But are we looking for God in the wrong places? Where can God be found? Where is he found? So I'm going to ask a few questions. Just ask yourself, can God be found anywhere? I think so. Can God be found everywhere? Yeah, at any time, sure. How about this? How about on television? Can God be found on television? Sure. And I'm not just talking about the cheesy Christian shows, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning on the 700 channels or whatever, you know, way back there. I'm talking everywhere. And some of you that know me well, and you've heard me say this before, I want to say it again. My favorite all-time movie is Forrest Gump. When I first saw Forrest Gump, I went by myself and I walked out of the theater and I was bawling. I was in Colorado Springs, 1993, and I was crying. And here's why. I went and sat in my car, and here's why I cried. Not because it was a great movie, which it was. I cried because here's this innocent guy, Forrest, who's absolutely head over heels in love with Jenny. And no matter what she does, she's sleeping with all these other guys. And every time she comes back, he's like, Jenny, you know, it's this innocent love. And then she goes, and at the end of the movie, she contracts AIDS. And then she comes home, and who does she go to? Forrest. And Forrest cares for her until she takes her last breath, ends up raising his child too. It's the most beautiful picture of unconditional, consistent love. And I sat there and I remember thinking in my car afterwards, I was in my car and I was like, God, I'm Jenny. I keep prostituting myself out there. I am, and yet every time I come back, you love me. And I had a moment with the Lord after a stinking television show. Where can you find God? Can you find it on television or on a movie? Yes, if you're looking for him, right? Where else is God? Can you see him at work, at home, at church, of course, maybe, hopefully? Hanging out with your friends? Answer's yes to all these, by the way. You can find God anywhere. In the cry of an orphaned child. Is God there? Yeah. How about in the change cup of a beggar on the sidewalk? Could God be there? Could be. In the cell of an imprisoned murderer. Could God be in there? Yeah. At the gym, on the 15th hole of the golf course here in Telluride, in the middle of the lake, in your boat, could God be? Yes, God can be anywhere. But you know what? I think what happens is we've sort of come to expect we see God at church, or we see God in the morning when I open up the Bible and I have my devotion for sure. But God can be found anywhere. He's everywhere, and he wants to be seen. In the beauty of a waterfall, in the crisp mornings. Like this morning, my son and I just sat out on my front porch, and it's just beautiful out there, man. It's just like looking at the tree, just looking at trees. And I'm just like, man, this is awesome. I think God can be found there in a child's laughter. We've had little kids running around my house the last couple days, and it's awesome. I think God can be found there. I think God can be found in the silence. Where is God? Are we finding him? Are we even looking for him? And if you're missing God, if your life is lame and boring, especially in the spiritual realm, could it be it's because you're missing him in the places that we often ignore, places that we skip, because he's everywhere? Jesus was the best example, right? Jesus was amazingly different in his life. He lived this exciting, radical, extremely different life than anybody else. I think that's why people, the Bible says the common people heard him gladly. They would listen to him. They're like, this dude's different. Like, it's not all about how you dress and his big robes, and he's different. He's just walking through the vineyard and he's talking about God, and he's ripping out mustard seeds, and he's talking like this. What is up with this guy? Jesus lived an amazing, incredible life. Think about the very first miracle Jesus did. Totally not a cool miracle as far as if I were doing it. Like, if I'm going to start my public ministry, dude, I'm like raising a kid from the dead, man. That's the first thing I'm doing. I want everybody to see it, man. I'm calling TBN. I want you there. I want everybody seeing it. It's like, oh, the girl's like levitating and she's like, that would be awesome. Not Jesus, dude. He goes to a wedding and turns water into wine, which is groovy, but who cares, man? Like, who cares? Really, Jesus? Like, you're going to waste all your power on water to wine? Like, who cares about a young bride and her young groom who might be humiliated in front of countless guests because they didn't have enough wine? Who cares? Jesus cares. He doesn't want them to feel that way. You find Jesus in these places that nobody else would put him. In these places that I think oftentimes we would overlook. Jesus, we know this, right? He's labeled by the religious community of his day as a drunkard and a glutton. Why? Because he hung out, guess what? With drunkards and gluttons. Really simple. Why would he hang out with drunkards and gluttons? Because he so passionately cared about the average person who is in great need. The person who isn't always smiling. The person who isn't always happy. The person who isn't always dressed in the best clothes. Jesus cared about them. He came to love the unlovely and to transform the religious community that was creating all of these barriers for people that were normal to get to God. He came to bust those barriers down. He hated them. And he wanted the average Joe to be able to understand that they could have a relationship with the living God. So Jesus comes on the scene just busting all that stuff. He has lunch with a midget tree-climbing robber. Why would he do that? Because when everyone else would just walk by a soul like that, Jesus won't. He won't. Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. What? You're kidding. He's like, I can see this little dude falling out of the tree, you know, like, let's go, peanut butter and jelly on me or whatever. Anyway, Jesus would never pass up somebody like that. The whole story of Levi, or we call him Matthew, a tax collector, right? Jesus invites Matthew to follow him. Why? Because no matter what you've done or where you've been or how many people you've stolen from, it doesn't matter to Jesus. Jesus loves you anyway. And the first thing, I love this about the story of Levi and Matthew. The first thing that Matthew does is he throws a kegger for God. Like, he's not religious enough to know you don't throw keggers for rabbis. Like, you don't do that. Matthew, whoa, what? You don't do that, bro. Don't serve alcohol, man. And so is Jesus going to show up? Is he going to? Yeah, he shows up. And that's why the religious people are outside of the house and they're talking to his disciples and they're like, you seriously are following this guy? This is your master? This is your rabbi? Look who he's hanging out with. And this is when they drop the line. He's a friend of sinners. It's got to be my favorite title of Jesus. He's a friend of sinners. Are you kidding me? Why? Because he loved them. What's wrong with Jesus? Why would he be seen there? Because he is a friend of sinners. That's where you're going to find Jesus. He's in the places that you don't expect him to be. He's hanging out with the people you don't expect him to hang out with. He's with the average Joe. He's with people who've had horrible things happen to them. He's just there, accepting them. Can I say tolerating them? So much so that if you know the story of Zacchaeus, the wee little man up in the tree, and it's in Luke chapter 19, but if you know the story, Zacchaeus, they're having like one verse, I'm coming to your house for dinner. So the next verse, they're at his house for dinner. And there's all these people there. And the next verse, Zacchaeus stands up and he's like, I'm going to stop stealing from people and half of everything I own, I'm going to give to the poor. And Jesus, and you have to realize right before that, there's no verse that says Jesus stood up at the table and said, Zacchaeus, you should stop stealing from people and give everything to the poor. He doesn't say that. It just comes out of Zacchaeus. He's like so happy that Jesus is hanging with him. His life is transformed. And then Jesus says this famous line. Jesus says, today salvation is found this household. But you didn't preach at him. There was no altar call, Jesus. Nobody played the piano. I don't understand. And when Jesus says salvation is found it, notice no prayer, just a radical life change. And you got to say, why? I can only come up with one thing. Jesus hung out with him. He just went to dinner with him. Why? Like, Jesus, we've got some really important religious people and they've got the whole thing set up, dude. They've got, and, oh, it's going to be way good food. And then and you're going to put an appearance and we're going to make sure you have 15 minutes to talk. And it, nope, Jesus isn't into that. He's a friend of sinners. And I could go on and on. Jesus was always in the unexpected place, loving the undeserving person, and he lived an amazing and adventurous life. If my Christian life is lame and boring, it's because I don't live like Jesus. It's because I'm ignoring him. I'm just not there. Because he's not boring, man. He's everything about him. Even when people were saying yucky things about him, putting him down, you got to admit, it's pretty cool what he was doing. Like, that guy's awesome. I want to live like that. Are we so caught up in ourselves and our own situations and our own life and our own bills and all the things that are, it's all about us that we've forgotten that it's Jesus who is supposed to be increasing, like my tattoo here. He must increase. I must decrease. Have I forgotten that simple fact? The way life will be the best is if there's less Michael in it. It's just true. And I know my whole flesh just fights that with every fiber of my being, but I know this much to be true. If there's more Jesus and less Michael, my life is way cooler. It just is. Where did God walk? He was usually in the places that we too often ignore. So may we be people that get caught up with the Lord, like Enoch. He walked with the Lord, and he was not. Wow. Amen.
You've been listening to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft. Pastor Michael has more to share from the book of Genesis, so be sure to join us again. In the meantime, you can learn more about the Burning Hearts Radio Ministry by visiting our website, thealpinechapel.com. Once there, you'll be introduced to the church behind this ministry, the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. We'd love to have you join us for worship. We meet together to learn from God's Word and spend time praising His name. It's an incredible time of fellowship. So if you're in the area, make plans to join us Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m. You'll find all the information you need, including directions, at thealpinechapel.com. If you're not in the area, you can still be a part of our Sunday morning worship. We're streaming this service live right from our website as well as on Facebook. And speaking of Facebook, come follow our page for all the latest updates and event invitations. You can follow the link at our website or just search for The Alpine Chapel. If you ever have any questions about what you heard on Burning Hearts or would like to ask us to pray with you, please don't hesitate to get in touch. You can send us a message on Facebook or just visit the contact page at thealpinechapel.com. One more time, that's thealpinechapel.com. Well, we've officially come to the end of our time with you today. Place a marker where you've left off in Genesis and make plans to join Pastor Michael again next time, right here on Burning Hearts.